Well, speaking of sun, good morning on this bright, sunny, sunny day on the Palouse. You know, when we take a quick look at the big picture, though, of what is going on in the world, it can actually seem a little bit on the dark side. I said that for all you Star Wars fans. Dark side. I heard there's a new movie out. The Dark Side. Luke, I am your father. No, I heard there, well, anyway, whether it is the direction our culture's going morally or what's happening politically or just plain how godless things can seem, and then you add to that the personal challenges we face, sometimes something can rise up in us that just plain says, help, help. Help. And I have good news this morning, though, that God has a plan for the problem. And you are actually part of the solution. Let's stand and honor God's word by reading it together. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You may be seated. So what's the problem? Darkness. What's the solution? Light. Illumination. You are called to shine. We are called to shine. In fact, illumination is our occupation. Illumination is our occupation. It's our purpose to shine, to illuminate darkness. And this works for one reason, and one reason only. You don't produce the light. We don't somehow strain hard and force light out. It doesn't work that way. The scripture says you are the light of the world, spoken by Jesus to us. It's a statement of fact. When an individual lives in the light of this gospel, this good news, he or she shines in a dark world. Shining happens. The very purpose of being a follower of Jesus is to shine light. Matthew 5:14 says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. In biblical times, cities were often built on a hill, in large part for defensive purposes. They were up high, they could see the enemy down low, and they could like pour hot oil on them and, you know, do other really kind, loving things to their enemies. But the cities were built on a hill for defensive purposes, but also then at night, people would light their lights, their candles, their lamps, lamps that looked like this. They would light them, these clay lamps with wicks in them, and they put olive oil in them and light them. And they'd set them up on a stand. And then these lights would shine cumulatively. And you couldn't help but notice these cities on a hill for miles around. It's impossible for a city set on a hill then, in that case, to be hidden. There was nothing to block it. Its situation makes concealment impossible. Now, when our building was built, it was prophesied that we would be a city on a hill. We were actually built on a hill. Part of our architecture was to have windows, big windows on the front of the building. As a matter of fact, the building itself cantilevers out further as you go up each story. And that signifies the rolling up of the sides of a tent. And the purpose is to be warm and welcoming. But also what happens is light is able to shine in, but also light is able to shine out. A city on a hill, shining a light to our community. The context of this scripture in Matthew 5, 14 through 16 is that Jesus is speaking to a multitude on a mountain and is giving the most important and famous sermon ever given. The Sermon on the Mount, where he is describing to his followers what it means to be a true follower of God. Values of the kingdom of heaven that are so different from the values of this world. He's describing an upside down kingdom. Things that seem like they're foolishness to this world that are wisdom. Straight from the mouth of God. It's a radical way of living. He's presenting these very contrasting values. And it is by living these contrasting values that he then declares to these people that they will be lights in the darkness. They will stand out. In Matthew 5:16, the word for good in the phrase good works is actually the Greek word kalos, which means beautiful. It means beautiful, valuable, virtuous. That's what we get to add to life as we're doing life day to day. Beautiful things. Valuable things, virtuous things. It can also mean excellent, precious, commendable, admirable, honorable. These are the good works that shine. As we are in the midst of hurting people, the light and the beauty of the gospel shines in and it shines through us. It will then stir up eternity in the hearts of the people we're around, and they will begin to wonder if there's something more. So, is there such a thing as a light-dimming problem? By asking the question, you're probably thinking, well, that's a trick question. No, well, listen to this. Matthew 6:1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And that is so important. On the one hand, the Pharisees are being rebuked by Jesus for parading their works to be seen. And then on the other hand, we read in Matthew 5:16, this directive of Jesus is to let our lights shine so that others can see our good works. So what is it? The issue is, who's being glorified? I asked, is there a light dimming problem? Well, yes, and pride is a light dimmer in our lives. When we're walking around saying, bless the Lord, you know, I'm just here to bless the Lord. You know, look at Him. Look at the Lord. You know, that's what I'm here for. I represent Him. Can't you see? That's a problem. Pride dims the light of God. And it happens typically when we forget that we don't produce the light. A humble person understands that they're living on God's power grid. You know, they're living on God's power grid. They're not the ones that are responsible to somehow crank out this light. You know, we're not some do-it-yourself light producers. The first thing we need to repent of is our own righteousness. This self-righteousness. Because it gets in the way of His righteousness. Seems kind of odd to say we need to repent of our righteousness. But we need to repent of the self-produced kind that says, look at me, how great I am. It's the worst kind of sin because it's subtle. Because we think we're actually doing good things, but it's with a very wrong heart. And this is tricky. Well, let me back up and say this. The reason for good works to be seen is not so that we may be congratulated as fine, upstanding servants of God, but so that the observers will give glory to our Father. That's the idea. And this is tricky. It's tricky because the desire to be seen and recognized and wanted and loved is okay. It's okay to desire those things. We simply need to be aware that He is always seeing, recognizing, wanting, and loving. He sees. Big Daddy Weave. No, that is not my moonlighting job. It's actually a band. They actually performed here. I love they're my favorite group, Big Daddy Weave, yeah. But they wrote a song called Audience of One. He is our audience in all that we do. And as we live life with that motive, the approval of others may be there, and it's good, but it's secondary. It must be secondary. So what qualities do we have as light illuminators, gospel illuminators? Well, we speak words of grace, and we speak words of truth. We do life-giving deeds. We should be the best bosses, the best employees, the best neighbors and friends. We should be the best enemies, returning insults with kindness, returning persecution with prayers. We should also love and listen to and serve those who are dwelling in darkness. Let me say that again. We should love and we should listen to. This should be a part of our daily lifestyle. Who can we love today? Who can we listen to today? Who can we serve today that might be out there caught up in darkness that we could then serve and help and love with God's love? I love doing this as a landlord. I get to serve my tenants and I love taking care of them. I love to bless them and love them and listen to them. And to, in some way, be able to show what God's heart is for them. Award-winning author Madeline Alingal, she wrote many books, but she wrote this quote also. We draw people to Christ, not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. That's the kind of light we have the privilege of shining. That's the kind of attractiveness the light of God and the light of the gospel is in our lives and through our lives. Philippians 2, 14 through 16 says, do all things without grumbling. Grumbling is where we say, I deserve better than this. It's referring back to the Israelites in the desert where they were grumbling and complaining. All God was doing supernatural things, coming through for them in every way, providing manna for them, food for them, providing deliverance for them, and they would grumble and complain because He hadn't come through for them lately. So that's what it's referring back to. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. It took me a lot of work there to kind of come up with this grumbling sense because I'd really had to struggle to do that. But I wish that were true. I wish that were true. I find myself, I'm a positive person, but I find myself grumbling. I don't like it when I see it. So do all things without grumbling, without the sense I deserve better or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life every moment of every day. And holding fast to the word of life doesn't mean we grab our Bible tight and walk around with it. It means we read it and internalize it and live it. We are ambassadors of another kingdom. We live on earth, but we're citizens of heaven with a mission to shine a spotlight on our heavenly kingdom. We're not here on vacation. We're here to do the work of the kingdom of heaven. We're here to shine at the pleasure of the King. We are the way that people see King Jesus. And the interesting thing about being an ambassador is that it is never about the ambassador. It is always about the government he or she represents. An ambassador represents the interests, the values, and the vision of his or her country. As citizens of heaven, we always represent the interests and the values and the vision of our home country, the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And this is why we need to read our ambassador training manual, because it tells us about the values and about the interests and about the vision of our kingdom of heaven. So important to know this. In this context, we can see that good works don't make us holy. They make our holy God visible. Good works don't make us holy. They make our holy God visible. Sometimes you may not feel like you fit in as you live in this world. If you don't feel you fit in, it may be because it's the light of heaven in you standing in complete contrast to the darkness in the world. Light doesn't fit in real well with darkness. It gives hope to those caught in darkness. It can help lead them out, but it doesn't fit in real well with darkness. How do I know I'm shining the true light? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11 says, "For at one time you were darkness." Think about that. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." This is so important to understand the kind of talk this is. This is statement of fact talk. In the English language, it's an indicative, or if in a grammar class, this is an indicative statement. It's a statement of fact. It's telling you, you have a new identity. You were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, we have a directive now, a command, and that is walk as children of light. Since that's what you are. That's how you walk. So walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Starting with judgment begins at the house of God. The litmus test of whether we are full of the Holy Spirit and shining in a way that honors and glorifies God is if we have the fruit of that Holy Spirit in our lives. The scripture lists 9 of those fruits, 3 groups of 3. Can we come up with them all? Go ahead, shout them out. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Right on. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. 100% A+. You got it. God used this as a litmus test in my life this week to convict me. It never feels good, but it's a gift. It is a gift because it helps us identify the light dimmers. And we get to then deal with them and be set free. And so I had the opportunity, the privilege really, of asking a couple friends, actually friends in this church, for forgiveness. As it was clear that I had manifested the fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit in my interaction with them. So important. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're all in this together, a work in process. And I am so grateful for His patience and His grace. And need it. Today, on a brighter note, is Rob and Lydia Brownfield's first anniversary. Now, the thing you have to know about Lydia is she just loves attention, you know. Well, she should be used to it, you know. She was a star basketball player. She's actually in the Hall of Fame at Boise State University for women's basketball. Played in the Goodwill Games representing Bulgaria. She's an amazing person and actually one of the most humble people I know. And I just love the Brownfields. I got to see him at Golden Teriyaki on Friday at dinner. And it was so cool. You know, they're not like my size, right? You know, they're a little taller and Rob's a little bigger, you know. But here they are sitting on the same side of the table together. Just absolutely in love. I'm embarrassing Lydia, I know it. You know, and part of me really loves this. I don't know if that's the fruit of the Spirit part or the fruit of the flesh, but anyway. I tell you what. Though when I think of the fruit of the Spirit, I think of them. I do. I love being around them because they are humble people full of love and joy. If I just want to be out of it, I go be around them a little while and then I'm good. I'm good. All right. I see a little bit of what it's like to be true light. Ephesians 5:10 tells us to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I shared how I had to discern what was pleasing to the Lord and I found something that wasn't. Right? We need to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This is important because the devil masquerades as an angel of light. So sometimes he might appear as light when he is actually the prince of darkness. You know what? I hate him. We have to be good haters of the devil. He says, this will set you free. This will deliver you from your pain. Guess what he's doing? He's lying. Sin puts a basket over our light. It's like dirt-covered headlights, and we wonder why we can't find our way. How many wash their headlights? Yeah. Pastor Kerry's dad taught us to wash headlights, but that's a long story. So it wasn't even on my radar to wash headlights until Pastor Carl taught us to wash headlights as young men, and I never knew that was possible. But then later in life, I drive down the road, and when I can't see, I go, oh, I wonder if my headlights need washed, and I find out they do. Love it. Sometimes, that was a blast from the past. Sometimes we don't acknowledge the power of darkness. This almost seems wrong to say. But sometimes we don't acknowledge the power of darkness. And we think we can get by with this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine theology. There are two things wrong with this. Number one, the belief that all we need is a little light. And two, the belief that all we have is a little light. Two major things wrong. This really was brought home to me on the Hiawatha Trail. Have any of you ridden your bike on the Hiawatha Trail? Here's a picture. Look at that. Isn't that gorgeous? You got to do it. Put it on your bucket list. If it's not there, it's great. It's a great trip. And 15 miles long. Includes a tunnel over 1.5 miles long. If you want to experience thick darkness, go to the middle of that tunnel and turn off your light. Completely disorienting. The walls just may be a slight distance away from you, but you will have no clue because you can't see them. Over 1.5 mile long tunnel. You will learn real quick that this little light of mine makes very little difference in the midst of that kind of darkness. To put it in modern terms, it does squat. Nothing. It does nothing. Seriously. But going in, seriously, I'm going to be very honest with you. I thought that light overcomes darkness. All we need is just this little flame and it will just consume darkness. It will emanate out. I had a lame light. And it was very clear that it was lame. And I could see nothing. Now, people that had this kind of light Look at that thing. Don't look at it. Did I blind somebody? Please forgive me. I'm still a work in progress. Look at that. Look at that thing. It's so bright. No, look at him. Look at that. Incredible. Now, somebody in the middle of that darkness, in the middle of that tunnel that has this light, guess what they are? The most popular person in the tunnel. Everybody wants to follow them. Everybody. Who wants to follow this? Come on. Maybe if I strain harder. No, it doesn't quite. That, yes. So refreshing. It works. I tell you, you probably are thinking of examples in your life where you were literally in dark and you ran into things and stubbed your toe and you wish you had light. You know, we can all think of those things. But I tell you, in the middle of that tunnel, I learned the power of darkness. And it's a lie that all I need is a little light. It's also a lie that that's all I have. I have this and beyond. You know, I have a mega flaming torch. That's what lives in me. Amen. The true light of the gospel, like this, can overcome any darkness. Any darkness. Any darkness you may be facing, you may be aware of in you or your loved ones, any darkness, the light of the gospel can overcome and deal with any darkness. And that brings hope for anyone lost in darkness. To shine well, though, we must live with fresh faith, kind of like you need fresh batteries and maybe in a growing sense of what the gospel light means. But to shine well, we must have fresh faith. Oops. Excuse me, Pastor Phil. This is his. Okay, sorry. We must have fresh faith. Faith is moment by moment. Life is served up one moment at a time. This morning's faith will never do for this noon. The faith of noon will never do for dinner time. The faith of dinner time will never do for the time of going to bed. Because life is a new thing every moment. Faith must be new every moment. When do we not believe? When are we not persuaded that His word is true for us? Never. It's fresh every moment. For each of us, faith was new when we first trusted Christ, when we first received His beautiful, atoning, purifying blood into our lives, and we sensed that weight lifted, that deliverance. Let us not ever become those who get used to the blood of Jesus, like it is nice to have around, but we don't really need to apply it like regularly. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is in us. Realize it, my soul. Act accordingly. Where does light do the most good? In darkness. That's why we're called to go. That's why we don't just sit here and camp out together and have a nice social club. But we're called to go out to our community and beyond. Yeah, I'm talking about it. It's coming right up. You have the notes. Just look ahead. Anyway. I love it. I love Pastor Phil. No, we've been a team for a lot of decades, and it's awesome. We can finish each other's sentences and messages. You know, it's really great. So the Bible puts it this way in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Once again, that's a declarative statement. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So we just had a team. They just traveled 40 hours to get home, approximately, from the other end of the earth. Now, we live on one end, and they went to the other end in Uganda and Malawi. Welcome home, team. So the scripture also, though, mentions Jerusalem. So for us, that's Pullman and Moscow. And this Wednesday, as Pastor Phil said, we have the wonderful opportunity to actively love the city of Pullman by together serving our city. Instead of doing our standard Wednesday work party, as was mentioned this coming Wednesday, we're going to go out into our community and do some things to bless our city, to serve our city, to love our city well. This will be an expression of what many in this congregation do regularly and what all of us should do regularly. Put action to our faith. Love our neighbor. Be a shining witness in our cities. So come Wednesday, 7, ready to love our city well by serving our city well. So there are, as I mentioned, our people in our congregation that have, they've found such a variety of ways, creative ways to shine the light and the love of Jesus to our community on an ongoing basis by being involved and being a blessing. Everybody that has a job, you take this presence of God, this light of the gospel to your workplace every day. It's easy to get caught up in feeling like you're in a rut where you've been around some of the same people for a while. Maybe get a fresh look. Be refreshed in your mission that you're actually not a citizen here in this world. You don't grumble and complain like everybody else. You live in a sense of gratitude and gratefulness, which feeds a spirit of humility and joy that we get to then shine. Preferring others in love, considering others better ourselves, listening and loving in the workplace and at school. For those of you that have been at school, you're off this summer, but you know, we get to do that wherever we go. But here, so there's other people. Well, you know, people like Mackenzie Akins. I'm going to embarrass her. She didn't even know this. But she won Young Woman of the Year in Potlatch. Isn't that amazing? Here's a newspaper article right there, right? And she surprised her dad and he cried. It was beautiful. Dan's a friend, and so I wanted to tease him. Anyway, it was really a cool situation, though, and it was honored in the highlight, front page of the Daily News. And some hot off the press news is that Macy McManus, she just won two state titles in track. And as a relay, she was part of a relay, and they broke the state record. Now, the cool thing about what Macy does, though, and her dad says this, is just so cute. You know, she's on the starting blocks, and she bows her head in prayer, and she asks God's help. I'm sure, like Eric Little, when she runs, she feels his pleasure. You know, I'll work on the accent. But and then Connor Akins, his baseball team just won state. I tell you what, and with all this Imagine Tomorrow from PCS, isn't it so cool? What God is doing, they're engaged, they're out there, and I'm sure all of them, matter of fact, I know all of them, and they are taking this light of the gospel into those situations. And then there's people like, we all know about Mary Baldridge and the way she serves the families in our community with pajamas and also with Pullman Child Welfare and Community Action Center, working with our monthly food drive along with Curtis. And then Mobile Meals, Lily Sherman and Joanne Mildren, and Prison Ministry. Thomas Lawford is out there doing things, powerful things. And Ministry to Nursing Homes, Nancy Grunewald does her Love Him Connect group. And then CCF and PCS doing acts of service throughout the community, yard work and moving people and helping out there where needs are. And then foster families in our congregation, amazing way to love in a very tangible way. People that adopt, we talked about the Wright family. And Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, we do that at Christmas time. And Palouse Care Network, Pastor John Carlson's the chairman of the board for this, and helping people that find themselves in a difficult spot and bringing the love of Jesus to that situation. Council on Aging, Nancy Backus, administrative coordinator. And then our Inland Northwest Blood Drives, and Catherine is involved in that and has been and got an award a long time ago. And it was just so cool. It's just great stories. there and ways she's involved shining Jesus' light. And Family Promise, you know, where we help house the homeless in our congregation. And Susan Wofford and Curtis Troll involved in that. Prison Fellowship International. Many of you have sponsored children, so that would be going to the ends of the earth to support, and it's awesome. And you know, and then there's people like Francis Benjamin, who I have his resume here. It's just like, it's almost like you don't even feel like a man, you know, when you look at it. But he's involved. You know, he's chairing Pullman 2040. He was on the city council for over 12 years, and he's today there's the Be the Entrepreneur Boot Camp, and he helps lead that up with the Palouse Knowledge Corridor. And I didn't join that because you have to have enough knowledge to be a part of it. But anyway, he's just an amazing guy, and he's my neighbor, and I love him and been friends for years. And then there's Cheryl Pardoon, who's a chaplain up at the hospital. And then, you know, we're going to be doing VBS, and I've not mentioned many of you, and I'm sorry, but, you know, there's just so many ways that people are involved. Such an inspiration. It should be an inspiration to us as a church community, too. Light is going out, and we can be inspired by one another's examples. And then there's Dave Nordquist, who this afternoon at 2 p.m. is going to be performing at the Damon Barn, Cowboy Poetry. Here's a picture there. Dave's on the good-looking guy, the young guy on the far left there. Yep. And it's $10 to go. It's at 2 o'clock today. You know, Dave Nordquist, many of you didn't know, he's a football player at WSU. Not just that. He was the ASWSU president, football player, ASWSU president, other very important jobs, cowboy poet, shining the light of Jesus, and then had a Bible study where the foundation of our church began. Amazing. You know, when it comes to truly believing that we are in Him and that He, the light, is in us, some of us may have our doubts at times. We know ourselves. We live with ourselves. We know the sin we've committed. We maybe know the darkness that we're capable of. We may ask, can He still love me? How long will His patience last as I struggle forward? We're sometimes not persuaded that the light of the world can illuminate such a vessel as us. Does He really dwell in this temple? How can He? How can He do that? Because we all know that we're not perfect temples. Let's look at a picture of the tabernacle. This is a picture of the tabernacle. See that flame, that pillar of fire. This is Moses' tabernacle. This traveled with him in the wilderness. Then it became a permanent home after Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. And this flame, pillar of fire, represents the very presence of God that only dwelt in that Holy of Holies. The presence of God dwells in Holy of Holies. How can He dwell in me? One man. Once a year could go into that Holy of Holies. And He went with the blood of an animal to make atonement for sins. Now they tied a rope around His foot in case He died so they could pull Him out, because nobody would have the courage to go in after Him. Not into that presence. Well, our hope is in the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus' blood was spilt for the purpose of atoning for our sins once and for all. It didn't stop there. Then He was resurrected. It didn't stop there. Then He ascended. And when He ascended to heaven, what did He do? Sent the Holy Spirit. That presence divided out among all believers. Remember, the veil in the temple was rent. Not so we'd have access into that place, so that the presence would come out. And guess where the temple is now? It's you. The Holy Spirit, presence of God, dwells in you. We're His temple. That there is the light that we have in us. That's the story of the Bible and of redemption. So we need to remember this. He does indwell you. And this is the most important thing. You're still asking, how is that possible? Some may be asking. Well, there's only one reason that this is possible. And it's because of his cleansing blood. The cleansing blood of Jesus. Just hear this. That is the only qualifier we will ever have that makes us a worthy vessel of his presence. It's the only qualifier that we will ever have. We could never possibly be good enough to earn it. But because we have it and have that presence, guess what we get to do now? We get to live in the light of that. And we get to shine the light of that presence because it's given to us as a free gift. Thank you, Jesus. When we become his follower, he says in John 8:12, that we have the light of life. It's not like we're taking along from behind and the light of life, we're following the light of life. It says we have the light of life as his follower. We have it. His presence is a fact. We don't have to work it up. We simply need to walk it out. Presence is a fact. We don't need to work it up. We simply need to walk it out. And guess what? As you walk it out, as you're walking in this light, guess what happens? Brighter and brighter light all the time. The bushels, the dimmer, the dirt comes, things come out because you love it. You love living in the light. And then what it does is it leads to great joy. You understand that you're not the source of it. He is. That brings up gratitude. You boast in your salvation, in his deliverance. You give him the credit for it. And then we are free of ourselves. And in humility, we get to honor him with our lives. What a privilege. We don't have to work it up. We simply need to walk it out. Illumination is our occupation. So if you'd like to become a follower of him that has this light of life and enjoy that presence every moment of every day, there'll be people right here that would love to pray with you. It'd be their great privilege to pray with you, to introduce you to him so you can enjoy him. Enjoy that forgiveness and that cleansing of sin and be delivered from shame and guilt. Oh. Have the weight lifted. Remember, Pastor Dan's going to come. He's going to describe this small group rally, but let's shine on together. Amen. Pastor Dan.